This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, tell a story about how you got grifted.
I
love
street
it.
Street hustlers was the text.
I did text everybody that was street hustlers. So we do have, I don't know if it's a rash when something escalates to a rash of Facebook postings on the local page.
Okay.
About individuals in the middle of the day, and I've seen them walking around with tablets that are trying to sell you windows, roofs, pest control.
Yes, that's a big one.
They were all out this week. I saw like four of them. I don't even know their charter and whether or not they're allowed to be doing this, but my wife always says, hey, be nice to them because this is their first sales job. This is their, and if they can even get generate three leads, you could tell they're going to have a business career. But I'm not thinking about that as I'm coming home annoyed, 100 things on the plate, all of that, and the kids are always screaming. So fast forward to now yesterday. This was yesterday. We hear a bunch of huge commotion. We had just gotten home, and we are seeing garbage cans getting wheeled out by these kids. And it was the day after trash day because of the holiday and everything. So we see them getting wheeled out. And my wife is like, do you hear that? And she runs over to the front door, opens up the door. And there's like a 12-year-old and an 11-year-old wheeling the neighbor's garbage cans. We're very close with our neighbors. So my wife, I was going to like, hey, what are you guys doing? No, my wife beat me to it. She opens the door and goes, hey, what are you guys doing? She said it nice. She wasn't like mean, but she's like, hey, what are you guys doing? And they're like, they get all nervous. And they're like, we're taking the garbage cans and we're pressure washing them. And my wife's like, what? And she's like, do you have permission to be doing that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll do yours too. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, God. You could look at them. And I'm like, that is what they're doing. They're taking them one street over. There's a path that connects our streets. And they're pressure washing. Because, you know, after a while. Yeah. And I've done that to my own. It was about a year and a half in. I told you, Owen.
Yeah, there's a company I know locally that comes on the west side that will come to your house and do it and take your juicy trash water there themselves away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, Kenny, you've never heard of this?
No.
Well, these are just enterprising kids.
I've heard you just pressure wash it. Like, you take it down to the end of the driveway, take your pressure washer down there, give her a hose down, let it dry off in the sun, let all that juice, that garbage juice roll into the culvert, and then that's it.
And that's one of those, you can do that, but you always like, I'll do it next week. I'll do it next week. And then in the middle of summer,
when it's
baking and it's 90 degrees and humid.
Bees all around.
The cocktail of juices that kind of flow in there. Fermenting.
Cacophony.
There's always particulate from the birds and from the animal.
I call it Rumkey wine. It's great. Tastes wonderful.
Put that on the market.
I'm open for it.
On the shelves. So my wife looks at me and she then looks at them and goes, how much? And then I heard the number and I'm like, we're not doing both cans. We're not doing the recycle.
Oh, you've got to differentiate. Yeah.
How much was it?
They go 15 a can. And I'm like, I am not for something I could go do right now with my hose. I don't have a pressure washer. But I'm not. I've got a nice jet. I've got pretty good water pressure.
Okay.
Going on. So, and then, you know, you think all the midges and what they've been doing, hanging around. They just die and their whole family's in there. So I'm like, for once, I actually have cash on me. I go, tell them one can. Tell them we won't do the recycle can. We'll just do the normal garbage can. So the kid, nice little, you know what he looked like? He looked like, who's that kid going viral? The Riz or whatever the hell.
He looked like the Rizzler.
That's what he looked
Rizzler.
Like. That's what he looked like. And he was very nice, but he was like in a hurry, like, come on, we're doing cans. I said, here we go. And I pulled out a 20. I said, hey, do you have a 5? And he goes, no. I paid him 20 bucks for this.
You should have just talked him down and got him 20 bucks for both cans.
That's what I did. I actually did.
You did
I said,
do
can
that.
You do both? And Then my wife looked at me disapprovingly, like, you're really going to scam the kids?
It's up to them to do the job.
You're going to negotiate with these two kids who are just trying to do this?
They're learning a valuable lesson in business here. They could have just walked right away.
Plus, I had already cut down, because it's the first thing I do anytime one of her Amazon boxes shows up. I take a knife to it, and I start cutting the box. And so I would have had to take out all that stuff, or they would have had to. Either way, I'm just like, let's just do the normal garbage. $15 end up costing me $20. And then the can is gone for an hour. I'm just assuming now we got to call the police, because how much do you think one of those cans cost? I'm
thinking to replace, because they're the one
like
$500.
Bucks.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Cheap.
I figured $500 is what I told her it would cost.
Yeah,
it's a lot of money. This actually is going to cost me now $500, all because we meddled into this kid. And I thought it was. I thought it was a bunch of street hustlers. And I'm like, how are they going to sell the cans on the open market? They're pretty traceable. I imagine they have a serial number.
They do.
So I'm getting in the weeds on this. He actually brought it back, and he was very nice.
So you weren't scammed? Well,
I feel like I was scammed
you
out of another
$5.
You were
scammed out of $5 at least, yeah.
Well, did he do a good job
on
it? There's
no way that the kid didn't have $5 in change.
It was fine. It smelled better.
How did you... You did these things when you were a kid. You are like, you're like Aladdin in real life. How could you just... allow yourself to be swindled
now,
by young children.
Way, he actually put in the work.
You're just getting soft.
Or his dad or whoever had the pressure washer.
You're just getting soft.
So there was a capital investment made. So they had to have the pressure washer to be able to do this. I'm sure the kid didn't buy his own pressure washer.
You allowed Sarah.
Maybe he's the Nepo baby, pressure washer business.
Your natural instinct was to whittle this down to $20 for both cans. That's your natural instinct. You allowed Sarah to soften you up.
She did. She looked at me. What was I going to do? And I'm thinking, you know, hey, they're putting in the work at least. That I did try to at least justify it by they're putting in work. You know, Miles Garrett was in Japan hanging out. Like, these kids were putting
true.
In work.
Well, apparently Miles Garrett has to do is get a little cute kid to talk to you, and all of a sudden you'll just say anything that Miles Garrett wants you to say.
Probably
hell,
true.
Anything when it comes to the Cavs or our Guardians or anything. Boy, you just get a kid and all of a sudden you'll just, here's my wallet. Take my wallet. Do everything.
And now I'm a mark. Now the people have heard
this.
Oh, of course.
Yep.
They're going to have all sorts of services.
I hope they do. I hope that every kid in the greater Bay Village area is at your doorstep offering some sort of a service to be overpaid. And they don't even know how to do a good job for it either.
Doesn't even matter.
I want to get to a tweet right now. Joe Mers on Twitter. Twitter reaction is brought to you by Schaubin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. I feel bad, and I know you guys pretty much have to do it, that 98% of Browns talk is about the QBs and Myles Garrett. I still want to hear people talking about the abomination of a fact that the Browns have led the league in pre-snap penalties for the last two seasons. I know we talked about it during the season last year, but it's been 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about it now? 6 months. I'll talk about it now. It was the blind leading the blind. You had bad coaching. You had players coming in that didn't know exactly what they were doing halfway through the season. I mean, good God, you basically, without telling anybody, switched out your offensive line coach. Seems like two times over halfway through the year. It was the blind leading the blind. That's another thing that has to be paying that they have to pay attention to now. When you do have four different quarterbacks, the reason I bring this up is that, yeah, you do have a chance to have more penalties, more stupid penalties. Illegal motion, illegal formation, false start, those type of things that end up playing out. You do have a tendency to have that. That's not an excuse. That is not an excuse. That's just an explanation. They have no excuse for any of that. There's plenty of teams that have to deal with multiple starting QBs and multiple things, but they don't have an inept coach that leads these guys astray.
So I used to jump when I was
younger.
Thank
God. I hope they've remedied that with Mike Bloomgren coming in.
When I was younger, I would often talk about penalties, and that's a sign of good coaching. And then as I've gotten older and I've seen, hey, actually, here are a bunch of Super Bowl teams that committed a ton of penalties. Here's a bunch of good teams. Here's a bunch of teams that got to the conference titles. Here's a bunch of teams that have veterans that are committing
penalties.
Well,
it was like one of those calling cards where the Raiders, they were the most penalized team, but those were more personal
thoughts. Yeah. In this case, I wonder how much of it is just randomness. Because
I don't think it is.
Well, here's why I say that. When he took over, when Stefanski took over, what did we all say, like almost instantly, other than that first game of his career against Baltimore where they got blown out? That first year, we're like, look at the execution. Look at all of a sudden, they're doing the right things. They're on time. They're on schedule. We love saying when a team is on schedule. That, you know, and they look like before the 2019 season, and we'll forever remember that first game against Tennessee where they committed like 19 penalties, and it was insane. But we all said, man, we finally got an organized group. And you started hearing it from people around the league, like the Browns got their act together. They finally found a coaching staff. They finally have an organization. They finally have a structure. They don't need the owner to have to intervene every other year to just fire everybody. And then all of a sudden, you know, once Deshaun Watson started showing up and everything, and they tried to organize this whole thing around him, penalties.
Yeah.
I don't know, Kenny. Like, did he coach it differently? Did all of a sudden Kevin Stefanski coach penalties differently than he ever had?
If you look at some of the penalties, when you have illegal formations, when you have illegal shifts.
But then they chose Stefanski immediately. But and wait a minute. That's not what we coach. Not what we practice.
Because you're running systems that guys don't know. Again, last year was a mess. And we made a big deal about it then, but maybe we should highlight it again. This is why there should be pressure on them to just flat out win games, so some fans have some peace of mind, other than the words metrics and all the other stupid things that we bring out about how to judge a football coach, for crying out loud. And really, by and large, a football staff, a coaching staff. So if you got guys on your offensive line who don't know how to line up or don't know where to line up, if you got illegal shifts, illegal formations, you got different quarterbacks coming in. You got a quarterback who doesn't know what's going on. You have this big situation of who's calling an offense and whether or not it's Kevin Stefanski or Ken Dorsey or who's making these decisions here. And then you have what ended up being a just horrifically bad offensive line situation because of the offensive line coaching staff that had to be fixed halfway through the year, or at least as close to a fix as you possibly could. Yeah, you're going to have all those penalties. And if you allow something like that to happen again, okay, well, I've allowed you to make these changes within your coaching staff. You still can't get it fixed. So what's it say about you? You got to be able to hire the right people as well. There's a lot of pressure on assistants that we don't really realize because they don't show the assistants on the sidelines. Very rarely do they ever. They show the head coach. They show a couple of coordinators. They don't show any of the other ones. And they show the head coach.
But then we have one of the most perfect playoff games in the history of football. Our coach wasn't even there. Like, some of this is random. You know, can we admit some of this? I mean, a guy lines up offsides. Well, we didn't coach that.
It is not. I wouldn't say it was perfect. It was so horrifically bad on the Pittsburgh Steelers side, if you wanted to take it that way. And thank goodness it was. That was Kevin Stefanski. He's the head coach here at Cleveland Browns. He was talking about voluntary workouts when he was asked about Myles Garrett and why Myles Garrett isn't in Berea, Ohio. Myles Garrett is in Tokyo, Japan. And whether or not people are mad about that, I am not.
And is he dating that snowboarder?
I have no idea. I'd ask Mitch who it was. I forgot.
She's got, okay,
that she was a snowboarder. I
remember,
I didn't know
her. A lot of the athletes, like during the Olympics, they're to the forefront because they get marketed so well during that month and then gone and forgotten. I had forgotten about that girl. And then I looked her up on Instagram and I'm like, she's enormous.
What's
she's
her name?
A huge
Chloe
following.
Kim.
Yeah.
Chloe Kim. There you go. Maybe Mary Kay knows. Mary Kay joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Can you confirm or deny that Myles Garrett and Chloe Kim are dating? Mary Kay, go.
Well, I don't know if they're dating, but they appeared on the red carpet together at the Anime Awards in Tokyo. So I don't know if they're friends or they're dating or what their relationship is, but they certainly know each other.
So that's why he's in Tokyo for the Anime Awards.
Well, he might be in Tokyo partly for the Anime Awards, but he also has a very deep affinity for Japan. And this is probably the third or fourth time he's actually been to Japan. He loves it there. And in his Instagram story, he was saying that he's looking for a place there. So I do think that that's just something he's going to do probably almost every year.
Really? I didn't know he was. I had no idea he was what they call Japanophiles or something like that, or the people who like Japan.
Talking about an expat here?
I had no idea.
Yeah, he absolutely loves it there. And he's definitely feels akin to the culture there. He loves it. He embraces it. And so, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see more of him in Japan.
We don't have enough good sushi here, especially at 3 a.m.
Oh, my God, damn it.
I told you. And, you know, the thing is,
well, you know, 3 a.m. there, God, it's 5 p.m. here.
That's true. So it's 5 p.m. sushi.
I can't believe you ended up being right in the end.
Mary Kay, I do wonder when it comes to this, because this show in particular has never made a big deal out of who shows up to the voluntary OTAs. However, after the comments were made by Jimmy Haslam at the owners' meetings, I believe he spoke those comments to you, did he not, Mary Kay, down in Florida, about finding, you know, that leadership, finding guys who can step up. And now Miles, after this contract, is certainly someone that he was hoping would fill that vacuum. Do leaders have to be at these kind of activities?
Well, first of all, that was a small group of us. The beat writers that cover the meetings always sit with Jimmy and Dee Haslam for probably close to an hour-long interview at the meetings wherever they're being held. So, yes, that was during that interview where he challenged Miles to step up his leadership efforts this year. Now, having said that, that doesn't mean that they expect him to be at OTAs or that they want him to be at OTAs. Remember, these are absolutely voluntary, and I know that's, you know, some people might say that's in name only, but when you're dealing with Miles Garrett, there really truly probably are a little bit of a different set of rules for a superstar like that, a generational player who has established himself at least in one season as the best defensive player in the NFL, a player who will be going on to the Hall of Fame, and sometimes you do have a little bit of a different set of rules for a guy like that. It's just the way that it is. And I remember back when Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells were coaching Lawrence Taylor, and he would be, you know, late to meetings or whatever, and Bill was told that, you know, that it's LT. And, okay, if he's not there yet, go ahead and start the meeting. And that's just the way that it was with them. And there might just be the slightest little bit of that with Miles. But again, these are voluntary, so no one can hold this against him in any way, shape, or form.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us. Just one other OTA note, because I noticed Minnesota, Kevin Stefanski's old team, they had perfect attendance. We did see Deontay Johnson, the new Browns wide receiver, maybe on his last life in his NFL journey, potentially. He was not there yesterday. That kind of came as a surprise.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that too, but I don't know why he wasn't there. And at these OTAs, sometimes these guys are in and out. Maybe they're there for two of the 3 days out of the week and they had some kind of an obligation or something like that for the other day. So probably a little unfortunate for Deontay that the day he missed this week, if he's only missing one, was the day that was open to the media. Maybe he's there today and we might know if we look at the photos, maybe we'll see him. But I don't know what the deal is there. I've been trying to figure out what it is. But certainly, if you're Deontay Johnson, you want to be at every single thing that you possibly can. You want to sit in the front row in the meetings. You want to be taking notes. You want to be picking the brains of other veterans on the team. And you just want to be on your absolute best behavior to make this team and reestablish yourself in the NFL.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here. So, I stopped this all short earlier because I didn't hear anybody give a reason, and I didn't want to go popping off about Deontay Johnson and find out there was a family emergency or something like that. So, he just wasn't, confirming, he just wasn't there yesterday.
Well, he wasn't, but he has been there for other things. Because I have seen him in photos at the off-season program. And I had heard early on, and I wrote early on, that he was attending the off-season program. So he might be one of those guys that's been in and out a little bit, and sometimes guys will let the team know, hey, I just can't be there on this particular day. And once again, this is a time. If they have to miss a day or two, this is the time to do it, because you can't do that for mandatory minicamp. You can't do that for training camp. And once again, it's collectively bargained that they don't have to be at these.
Do you like a 4QB race? Lima and I got into a dust up a little bit earlier about it because Lima's saying it's got to get down to three as quickly as possible. And I go, no, leave it at four. They're all competitive in some fashion. I don't care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
best to the coaching staff and how they can develop and how they can prepare guys and how they can do through all this. I want to see it all. I want to see the test of the coaching staff and obviously the test of the quarterbacks.
Well, it was never really intended to be a four-way quarterback competition until they got to the fifth round of the draft and traded up for Shedeur Sanders. It was always going to be more of a three-way competition until that point. So that just extended it, and when that happened, then they really did have to go to more of the two-spotting, which means that they're running these concurrent drills on both fields in seven-on-seven. So it gets a little bit complicated, but I don't mind it for now, but I do really truly believe that they have to weed it out as fast as they possibly can, because they do not have time to try to figure out who is going to be developing that chemistry and that camaraderie with the starting cast. They cannot do that. They have to hit the ground running. The early part of their schedule is absolutely grueling, and they have to be ready to play.
Mary Kay, if you could, and I know it was tough. They were operating two different football setups yesterday concurrently to be able to get the most out of everybody involved. So were you able to break down, maybe even power rank, the arm talent from the quarterbacks yesterday?
Well, again, not really, because you kind of had to divide what you were watching. And I mostly watched Kenny and Joe. I stayed on the field with Kenny and Joe when the rookies were on the other field, because I just feel like the real starting competition is probably going to come down to those two. Now, I could be wrong about that, but I just wanted to see what those guys were able to do, especially because we had just watched all of rookie camp recently, and I watched a whole lot of Shedeur and Dylan, and I wanted to see what Kenny and Joe were kind of up to. But here's the thing to remember. If you're going to be looking at stats and the breakdown of things online, you have to be careful about numbers that you're looking at, because Shedeur Sanders, and this is just a fact, he did not take any team reps yesterday. He did not take one team rep yesterday. So when they went to 11-on-11s, he did not get those reps. Those reps went to the other three quarterbacks. So you just really have to take with a grain of salt when you're seeing breakdowns and numbers. Now, the way that I wrote my story is that I figured people wanted to know what Shedeur was up to, and he was basically the fourth team quarterback yesterday, which I've been saying all along that he would do that, that they would have Joe and Shedeur as 3 and 4 or 4 and 3, and that's kind of the way that it's going to go. But that doesn't mean that these guys can't change it. It's up to them to flip the script. Shedeur could come back by next week, and we could see him in 11-on-11s when it's open again next Wednesday. But I thought the important thing to note yesterday is they are starting him out basically as the fourth-team quarterback.
I'm a little surprised, just because the media was going to be there yesterday, that they wouldn't put Shedeur in the team drills. Do you think that was by design? Do you think they did this independently? Like, basically, they don't care that the media wasn't really there. They were going to do what they plotted out to do to begin with.
It's a great question, because they may have wanted to pump the brakes on Shedeur mania a little bit and let the world know that, hey, yes, we are starting him at number four, and he's going to have to climb his way up over the other three quarterbacks if he wants to win this starting job. Or maybe that's just the way it is right now, and they're sticking with their plan. So I did think it was a little bit curious or interesting that he didn't take any of the 11-on-11s when we were out there. It wasn't as long of a practice as I thought it would be. It was only about 70 minutes. So they had two team periods, two 11-on-11s. And once again, it is hard to get everybody all the reps that they need in those 11-on-11s, and that's why they're doing the two spotting with the 7-on-7s, because you can do so many more of those. But I don't know if it was by design, if there was a method to their madness, but it stood out like a sore thumb to me that Shedeur did not take any of those 11-on-11s.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Yeah, I know what they're trying to do. I support that. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. But they're going to have to weather the storm because I don't think he's going to start the season as QB1. But if they go out there and they play decently and they win a couple of games, I know it's a tough start to the year, then everybody will be quiet. If they go out there and they get boat raced like they did last year against Dallas, like I think the heat, if he's on the active roster, and I assume he will be, the heat's immediately going to be turned up by the national media, by fans elsewhere. Because, Mary Kay, I think if you look around the league, and I don't think you'll disagree with this, clearly he's a big story here. But, I mean, other than Aaron Rodgers, I'm not seeing a whole lot of stuff in the NFL other than, okay, Aaron Rodgers and then Shedeur Sanders and how high he can go up within the Browns organization starting fourth on their depth chart.
Well, he definitely moves the needle. There's no question about mm-hmm. that. And the national media, they are clamoring for Shedeur news, and they are really on board with him, probably really challenging for this starting job, it seems to me. And so I think that's where, if some of the national media would come to town, I think that they would see that it's going to be a long battle for him, a big steep climb for him to get to the top of that depth chart right now. And that's just reality. Everyone has to remember they passed on him 6 times for a reason. They were prepared for him not to be on this football team, fully prepared for him to be somewhere else. So for him to go from 4 to 1, That's a tall, tall order. I personally would be surprised if it happens that way. I actually think that with the way the schedule starts out, that they would be best served by starting one of the veterans. So it's going to be a long way up to the top for him. But the other thing to remember here is that there were not many first-round quarterbacks to talk about. There were not many quarterbacks in this class to talk about at all. So he definitely is someone that is claiming all of the attention, and it doesn't hurt his case that he comes in as a celebrity, basically.
All right, Mary Kay, just a final note. I'm not sure you heard the story, but because you also live in a posh waterfront community, very exclusive.
Congratulations to you both on all your success.
Have you ever been conned by street hustlers? And by that, I mean kids walking up and down offering to do work in exchange for money.
No, actually, I've wished that somebody would knock on my door and ask if they could shovel my snow sometimes, but no, I really haven't. Have you had that experience?
Yesterday, Mary Kay, to pressure wash my garbage can. Child came up to me, $15, I only had 20, no change, so it cost me $20.
It's a shame, Mary Kay, we don't live closer. I'd have Axel come over and do your driveway for free.
Oh, well, that would be great.
Yeah, I know. I can't do it because we don't live close to each other. I live in the borough. I have offered Bernie several times. He basically lives down the road. I told him, I go, you ever need anything taken care of, I'll put Axel to work for you right now on the farm.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, you and your husband, you guys ever want to move out to the borough? I will make sure it's taken care of.
All right, I'll let you know.
Offers
you'll be the first to know.
On the table. Mary Kay, thank you so much for the time. All the best.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Mary Kay Cabin on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So they are pumping the brakes a little bit on Shedeur Sanders. You over there, I mean, you yesterday were like, I can't believe this is a story in the first place. I think you're nuts.
Shedeur Sanders, and this is just a fact, he did not take any team reps yesterday. So when they went to 11 on 11, he did not get those reps. He was basically the fourth team quarterback yesterday, which I've been saying all along that he would do that. They would have Joe and Shedeur as 3 and 4 or 4 and 3. And that's kind of the way that it's going to go. But that doesn't mean that these guys can't change it. It's up to them to flip the script. Shedeur could come back by next week and we could see him in 11 on 11 when it's open again next Wednesday.
That's Mary Kay Cabot.
Wow.
Bombshell tonight. Al Pulaski, he's going to join us at 9:22 this morning. We'll talk Guardians with him. When will we see Lane Thomas again? That is not great news to hear about Lane Thomas with the plantar.
You'll never be Al Pulaski.
Plantar fasciitis.
All right, so
that was a drunken voicemail my friend left me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We need more of those. Whatever happened to the coming in hot
button? He's a father now. He doesn't leave those things anymore.
That's disappointing.
We call him Stump. Rump.
See, me and you still play the phone games. It doesn't matter how old we are, the fact that we have kids. We still play the same games we played in high school.
We do.
On the telephone. All right.
I'm his favorite game was the one where he gets gradually further and further away from the phone and then just hangs up from the phone. Go ahead with the Mary Kay.
Okay, so as always, social media reaction brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Brad Ward says it's one day of OTAs. One shouldn't be speculating what the number of reps a player received means.
Great call. I agree with you, Brad.
Way, I agree with him too, especially when you have no idea what happened the day before. Okay, he's right on paper. But we have no idea. Shador might have gotten all these team reps the day before and might get all of them today. What's the difference? The cameras weren't there. A lot of teams.
What are you trying to say?
A lot of teams, a lot of players, a lot, and this is all the sports. When cameras are on, they say or do one thing. When cameras are away, they do another. So was there a strategic move to show that Shador is not getting any kind of preferential treatment? Hey, cameras are on. Hey, Shador, go over there basically on scout team for the cameras. Was there any method to the madness?
Reckless speculation.
Is it reckless?
I'm just asking questions.
Is it reckless?
And I'm looking for the answers.
It really is just speculation, but I don't have speculation.
Yeah.
216-474-0092. Do you guys read into no team reps for the most famous draft pick of this draft? He is the most famous. He's more famous.
He's probably the most famous draft pick they've had since...
I'm saying...
Baker?
No, I'm not even saying just the Browns draft. I'm saying he's the most famous player in this draft class.
Of this draft
class. More than Travis Hunter. More than the Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Sold the most jerseys, right?
You know...
He sold the most jerseys.
Yeah.
Fifth round pick. They didn't have him in the team drills.
So do you
for 11-on-11 with the cameras rolling and capturing all the images?
Shush, shush. Let me ask you, Matt. Before I go firing away here, let me ask you: do you believe that they will have him have any reps with the first team at all during this OTA session?
You're asking, will he get any team reps at all?
Don't look at your computer or the camera. Look at me. I'm going to ask it again. Do you believe that they will have Shador Sanders take first team reps at all during the OTAs?
Oh, you're calling them first team reps. I wasn't distinguishing. I
thought you were distinguishing.
No. I was just thinking
He was going to what?
He was
going
to participate.
Get them water. What? He's a quarterback, for crying out loud. What do you think he was going to do?
I want to be sure here. I want to be clear.
She said it to you as your question.
What did Mary Kay say? Can you play the clip again?
Oh, my God.
Oh, please.
And I will.
Please do. Thank you.
Shador Sanders, and this is just a fact, he did not take any team reps yesterday. So when they went to 11-on-11s, he did not get those reps.
Not first, not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth, not sixth, not seventh, not eighth, not nine, not ten.
Well, there's not 10 teams.
I don't know how many quarterbacks do we have.
There's only 90 players.
Yeah, there's only 90
by 11.
Okay. Well, remember, they brought in all the local MAC players.
So he's clearly going to take team reps.
Shout out Luke Floria, Mentor's Own.
He's clearly going to take team reps at some point. All right? So what you're doing here is, first off, I think that you are as helter-skelter as it gets about this. But in a lot of ways, you're probably right.
What do you mean?
Because you remember, during the rookie minicamp, hey, Mason's going to talk today. The other rookies are going to talk today. Saturday, the quarterbacks are going to talk. Because you got your number 5 overall pick in the first round talking on that Friday. And then you have the quarterbacks talk because you're not going to have the 5th rounder overshadow anybody else. He's still, and damn it, I told you I didn't want to start I wanted to take away the labels when you're actually judging them. We are very early in the judging process.
Mm-hmm.
So I will have to say there was probably something by design. Today's the day the cameras show up. We're going to go ahead and he's not going to be taking the team reps yet. I think eventually he's going to take team reps, and I think it's going to be in front of the cameras. That's where I think it's going to eventually it's going to happen. But
in front of Shador's cameras? Whose cameras?
Stop.
Not a legitimate question?
Stop. Because they put it, because what you're doing, and it's not nefarious. All the Shador wackos will take it as something nefarious. It's not nefarious. What you're doing is you're showing that you're not going to put too much pressure on him. You're not going to put him in a position yet that you don't know he can handle. He may be able to handle it. He may not, but you're not going to do that in May. So what it is it's Joe, it's Kenny, it's Dylan, it's Shador. And there's not as much practice time as we used to have, so there's only going to be so many team reps to go around. So maybe today or next week or whatever, they'll take team reps, and he'll take team reps, and that'll be the way it goes. Or the week after that, in front of the cameras, he'll take some team reps. I know that this is a few-week process, correct?
Are team reps so important that in May we couldn't give five?
You know, they are, because you know if he were taking team reps and there was video of him taking team reps, people would be going crazy. If he completed a touchdown pass, I don't know how you do the stats of practice, but apparently some people try. If he'd have thrown a touchdown pass in team, oh yeah. Yeah. So they're trying to avoid, Kevin is trying to keep this as legitimate as possible in a situation that, boy, you make one false step and this can become pretty ridiculous real quick. I got to tell you, having four quarterbacks, and this is why it's like, hey, I want to test you guys all. To me, this is a season of house money because I got two first-round picks next year. I can just use it on a quarterback next year. And to say, damn the torpedoes, and we get ourselves a new head coach and a new general manager, and that's it. So, you know what? If you can't handle it, we can find somebody else who can. Sorry. We've been through this for 6 years. So right now, he's when it comes to the quarterback situation, especially with a fourth-team quarterback who is that famous, he's famous. You're carrying around a live grenade, and you better not drop it, because if you do, we're going to have some serious problems here. So yeah, you know what? I want to disagree with you, because I think that my natural reaction is to think that anything a team does because of media influence is stupid. It's still professional sports, though. And they still know that, hey, he's got a very strong fan base, but he was taken on day three. We want to bring him up the right way. This is how to bring him up the right way. You have to start from the bottom and work your way up. So there you go. It is the road to glory on the old NCAA football. You're going to start fourth team and off you go.
Yeah, is he? Okay, I agree with everything you just said, by the way. We don't have a big disagreement there. Is there enough?
I'd like us to agree with each other sometimes.
This is part of my issue with having four quarterbacks. Does he have enough time? Like, if he's not able to get team reps right now, when we all said, didn't we all say, like, what? Joe Flacco doesn't need any really reps. He could just come in the last six games of the year and take the team to the playoffs.
But it's just
new coach, new system, new teammates. It doesn't matter. Yet, we're sitting here going, I don't know, he's kind of got to earn all these reps. Like, when is there going to be time for him to get all of the reps?
Well, there definitely won't be time once they get closer, especially preseason games and then into the season. So if there's a time for him to get some reps, the time is now, right? Just say yes, because that's the right answer.
No, I don't think
that's the right answer.
Wait a minute. Why would this be the time to get the team reps?
Because you got plenty of time to crash and burn right now. It's May. As we get closer to the season, stop making the face and listen.
I'm making the face. I'm going to make this face. I think what you're saying is not smart.
As we get face.
Because you didn't listen the first time.
Because it's not worthy listening to.
The quarterback that should be on the field with the team should be getting the reps. Right now in May, you should let anybody that plays quarterback get reps with the team. As you get closer to the season, those reps matter way more than the ones in May. Why are we not giving the four-string quarterback a chance to get team reps in May?
I will tell you why, coming up at 9:01 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.